and the motorcade moves.
Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, May 16th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, illegal search and assault, new practice of the police department, and the IRS scandal finds a scapegoat as Obama ousts the IRS chief who was already leaving. Then, pioneering activist Larry Pinkney in studio. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Our first story tonight is a story out of California. It's a story about police brutality. This is an amazing video that's going viral right now. It's over 200,000 views. Now, you can find this story on InfoWars.com. And as you can see when you watch it, these people are calmly and coolly telling the police that everything is fine. The police have been called because of a domestic disturbance. And when they got there, they both the husband and wife told them that everything was fine, that the children were outside. But the police were determined to come in without a warrant. And these people were determined that they would not open the door for them. And they filmed everything that happened. And what's most disturbing about this, in my opinion, is the fact that you might argue that if it's the police suspect that it's a domestic disturbance, that they need to come in and take a look and not have a warrant. But beyond that, once they were told everything that was going on, they were told they were going to be there filming it, they kick the door in, and then they taser the people inside the house as they're filming them. They told them that they were going to be filming, so it wasn't anything surprising to the police. They just kind of do it as a, kind of like using an electronic whip. Let's take a look at this video.
They're going to arrest you. They're going to fucking shoot us.
How many children are in the house?
There's one child in the house and one is playing outside. Officer, there's one child.
Why are you guys not coming out? Why are you not coming out?
Because we don't live in a police state, sir. Martial law has not been established in this country.
Okay, okay, can you do us a favor? All get down on your ground. Get down on the ground. Put your hands behind your back. We're going to kick the door.
He can't report if his hands are behind his back. We need documentation of this violation of their civil rights.
The door, sir.
He's got his hand up.
You're going to kick my door. You kicked my door down. You kicked my door down.
Get on the ground.
You kicked my door down.
That's what he did. Get on the ground.
No, you have no right to be in here. You have no right to be in here. You have no right to be here. You have no right to be in here. Do not touch her. You are assaulting her.
There we see what has become all too familiar sight. The police using quote-unquote non-lethal force to intimidate and punish people. The policeman knew that he was not under any danger. He was standing there for quite a while before he actually tasered the person who was filming him. There's absolutely no excuse for this, and we have to ask, why aren't citizens demanding that police have some rules of conduct placed on them for use of quote-unquote non-lethal force? Because a lot of times people do die when they're tasered. It causes serious injury to many people. And we need to put some restrictions and some rules on the police, and we need to make sure that those rules and restrictions are obeyed. Because all too often, when police are involved in brutality like this, they're never even suspended. Sometimes they're suspended with pay, sometimes without pay. They're usually reinstated. And even when it's a really egregious case, you have a police chief that wants to fire a cop for brutality, usually the police union will step in and defend that person and get them reinstated. Now, speaking of police getting more and more brutal, as we see them getting more and more brutal, they're going more and more after ammunition. And what we see happening now in Washington, D.C., is that they're now moving to force gun owners to buy prohibitively expensive liability insurance. This is another technique to get gun control by the back door. And, of course, it's coming from the location where we see the police having the most disregard for the Constitution and the rule of law, Washington, D.C. This article, it says, in a frontal assault against the Bill of Rights, the District of Columbia is moving to force firearm owners to purchase prohibitively expensive liability insurance. It requires residents to purchase at least $250,000, $250,000 in insurance coverage before the city government would even consider an application to register a firearm. And, of course, you would have to have that firearm unloaded because this is Washington, D.C., and it is illegal even to have the firearms that they graciously allow you to have there. It's illegal to have those unloaded in your presence. And, of course, they're also maintaining that you cannot own handguns in D.C., even though the Supreme Court specifically struck down the D.C. laws 5 years ago in 2008. The article also says that if passed, the law will be the first in the country and serve as a precedent for Democrats and gun grabbers working to dismantle the Second Amendment. Absolutely. We see them pioneering this new tactic. And oftentimes we think that we're winning when we beat back their frontal assaults on things like registration, which in and of itself is really kind of a backdoor technique towards confiscation. But then we see them doing things like this insurance requirement. And understand that this is nothing but flat-out corporate fascism. The insurance companies are, for the most part, they're part of the finance industry, just like the banks. In many cases, they're the same, owned by the same people, and they have the same interests. They're operating as banks. And it's these same banks that are putting through these requirements to purchase their product and getting the government to force us to buy their product. Obamacare is a perfect example. And here we see, again, insurance that's going to be used by Washington, D.C., probably Chicago, California, all the typical places where they try to outlaw guns. And we also see the stealth tactics of them buying up ammunition and ammunition disappearing everywhere. And we see this also in a report here. Police department is being forced to borrow ammo from local residents. Report here on InfoWars, it says, in the wake of huge shortages of ammunition across the entire nation, police departments are turning to ever more desperate measures to keep their officers armed. Now, this is a Proctor, Minnesota police chief. He said, I go, do you have 40 caliber qualification rounds? And they go, well, no, it's going to take 6 to 8 months to get them, he told reporters. And a Proctor resident immediately offered to loan the police department 1,500 rounds from their personal supply. Now, contrast that to what we were told. We see these kind of reports all over the country. We know that the Tennessee Highway Patrol is having difficulty getting qualifying ammunition and told they have to wait for months and months. And yet, when we talked to Art Acevedo, the Austin police chief, he told us he had absolutely no difficulty getting ammunition. But, of course, Art Acevedo is politically connected to the gun grabbers in Washington, D.C., to Joe Biden, and going to special dog and pony shows that they put on in Washington, D.C. So evidently, if you're politically connected, police chief, you can get the ammunition. But if you're not, you may have to wait. And we really ought to think about, if we look at this very first article about the California police breaking in and tasering these people, we look at the way the D.C. police are, and we look at the contrast between those areas and this place in a small town in Minnesota. Do you really think that residents in D.C. or residents in California would want to give ammunition to police who abuse and brutalize them like that? That's a lesson for the police. Police who are doing their job, who the community believes are not victimizing them, the community will stand with those police. But if things get tough and police are doing the kinds of things like we saw in that opening video, they're not going to get any support from the citizens when things get tough. Now, turning to the IRS, we shouldn't forget that the IRS has not just used these tactics against organizations, but they've also used them against individuals to silence and punish individuals. And we have a couple of news stories. They're breaking all over the place. Individuals saying that very shortly after they criticized Obama, they see that they're called in for an extensive audit of past year's tax returns. And a lot of them are chalking this up initially to just coincidence. But now they're seeing a pattern of behavior. as we see what the government has done to these organizations. We also are now seeing what they're doing to individuals, trying to destroy them, trying to silence them. We have a report that the IRS targeted a local news anchor after an Obama interview. This person was Larry Connors, a veteran local news anchor at KMOV Channel 4 in St. Louis. He says the IRS has been targeting him since an April 2012 interview that he conducted with President Obama, a fact that he dismissed initially as coincidence until the recent reports about the IRS targeting conservative groups. He said, shortly after I did my April 2012 interview with President Obama, my wife, friends, and some viewers suggested that I might need to watch out for the IRS. I don't accept conspiracy theories, but I do know that almost immediately after the interview, the IRS started hammering me. He put that on his Facebook page. And we have another report from Eric Balling, who is on the Fox News Network's The Five, and he said essentially the same thing. In 2011, he was pretty vocal against 4 more years of Obama. He says, I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but I did get an IRS audit in 2012 for my 2011 tax returns. I'm not sure if there's any correlation. Yeah, we wouldn't want to be a conspiracy theorist, would we? So over and over again, we're seeing an established pattern, and yet people are afraid to connect the dots. They're afraid to be called a conspiracy theorist. Well, it's not a theory. It's actually a fact. And we're seeing this happen in many different areas. But before we go to those other areas, let's take a look at what Obama is going to do. He's going to fix all of this for us. In the wake of this scandal, Obama is going to oust the IRS chief, but he was leaving anyway. President Obama announced Wednesday that acting IRS Commissioner Steve Miller would resign in the wake of the agency scandal in which conservative groups were targeted, although Miller was apparently set to step down anyway. An official close to Miller told Fox News shortly after Obama's brief announcement that the IRS chief was set to resign the position of acting commission as of early June. Now, it's been said that patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel, but what we're seeing here in this scandal is we're seeing that the first refuge of a scoundrel is incompetence. No matter what they say, what they're accused of, they always say, I didn't know what I was doing. Or in the case of Eric Holder, I don't know. Here's a clip from some recent testimony.
Do you know why that was not done?
There are exceptions to that rule. I do not know, however. Again, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. 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 That I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know whether or not. I just don't know. I don't know exactly how IRS is constructed. I don't know when the subpoena was issued. Well, I don't know precisely. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the specific questions. Now, again, I don't know what happened.
Well, either you know or you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know when. I don't know. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
All right.
I did not know. I don't know what you are going to ask me. I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I see nothing. I know nothing.
Now, lest we forget that the IRS was originally created at the same time as the Federal Reserve, and arguably to be their collector, their tax collector. If we look at the Grace Commission, even going back to the Reagan administration, we see that they were paying 100% of what you pay in income tax is going to the phony national debt that is owed to the Federal Reserve. And that has been a pretty consistent thing. You might even say that we're kind of on a interest-only loan to the Federal Reserve. But that loan is becoming kind of a balloon note. And that balloon note is eventually going to burst. So people are looking around for different ways to store their wealth, because that's what money is. It's actually a storage of wealth. One of those things that's come up is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a great idea, but we've seen it come under attack recently. Recently, if you remember, just a few weeks ago, there was a dramatic plunge in the value of Bitcoin because of a massive sell-off. And we said at the time that might be an attack from the government. Well, now it turns out that the government is getting even more direct. If that was an attack, they're getting even more direct on Bitcoin. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has issued a court order against Mt. Gox. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has issued a court order payment network provider, Dwolla, to cease providing services to the company that sits between it and the Bitcoin exchange, Mt. Gox. Dwolla sent emails to customers that have recently made transactions between it and Mt. Gox, informing them that it was unable to move money to and from Mutum Sigulum LLC's Dwolla account due to orders it had received from DHS and the U.S. District Court of Maryland. Now, consider the fact that this is coming from Homeland Security. That is an extremely interesting development, because usually when you're talking about money issues, that's usually the jurisdiction of the Treasury Department. But this is coming from Homeland Security. And it's also interesting to see that this is just an edict. Just like we saw with Cody Wilson when the Pentagon came in. It wasn't the ATF, but it was the Pentagon coming in and saying that he needed to take down the information that was on his website about the plastic gun. We're seeing the government increasingly rule by fiat. And it appears that pretty much any agency can tell you to do anything that they want to. There doesn't even really seem to be any clear lines of authority anymore. Well, if you're thinking about being a whistleblower and telling people about criminal activity that you see inside the government, Wired Magazine has some information for you that you might find useful. This is a very interesting article. It says, "Hear ye, future deep throats, this is how to leak to the press." And if you look at that picture that's right there, that's the actual parking garage where Bob Woodward met Mark Felt. He was the real deep throat in the Watergate scandal. Mark Felt was actually the number two person in the FBI, and so that brings up some interesting questions about the entire Watergate scandal, but we'll talk about that another time. But let's look at what they actually say. Like, how would you pass off information if you were a whistleblower? Well, first of all, if you wanted to leak by email, they say you would need to leave your cell phone, your normal computer, and your Metro card, like a smart trip at home. Anything that speaks over a wireless link must stay behind. Then you would go to a coffee shop that has open Wi-Fi, and once there, open a new Gmail account to use only to contact the press and only from that dedicated computer. And don't forget, if you get anything at the cafe or if you take public transit, pay cash. Now, of course, the job still isn't finished. When you're done, you must clear the browser's cookies, turn off the Wi-Fi before turning off the computer and removing the battery. Because remember, when these things are off, they're not off. The dedicated computer should never be used on any network except when checking your press contact account, and only then from an open Wi-Fi connection away from home and work. Okay, so let's say you want to leak over the phone. As I go further down, you would need to buy a prepaid cell phone. Make sure you get it with cash. Make sure you don't take out all the money at once, but you take it out in small amounts. Look for a store with the security cameras that look old. Now you own your very own burner phone after you buy it in that store. Now, once again, you want to go to a different location without carrying your normal devices. Make sure you don't have anything, because all these normal devices are constantly reporting back to a network telling the government or anybody that wants to look where you are. Then turn on the phone, check your voicemail, make your call, turn it off again, pull out the battery. Your phone calls are now hopefully anonymous, so that when the FBI leak hunt starts, there's no trail for them to follow. Finally, at the very bottom, they say the most secure way to do this is probably with old-fashioned mail. Just take it to a mailbox and that's far away from your home and drop it anonymously. Now, isn't it interesting, all of the things that you have to go through if you were going to be a whistleblower contacting the press? And they go through all of these different instructions, and it ought to make us all think about just how bad things have gotten since the 1970s, when Watergate happened. I was recently rewatching the film, and I was watching and thinking, what a simple time they were living in, without every bit of communication being watched and monitored and recorded and stored. And it's only going to get worse later this year when the Utah Data Center opens up and the NSA starts following people. Now, think about all of this, and think again about this AP scandal and the fact that the government came in and wanted the information for about 20 reporters, wanted to know phone calls that they made within a certain time, dates that they made the phone calls, how long the phone calls were. They knew all of that stuff. They could easily get all of that stuff. They have all of the phone conversations recorded. Everybody knows that. That's what this whole Wired Magazine article is about. The government is watching everything that everybody does. We may not want to think about it, We may have this cognitive dissonance and denial to think that we live in something that is far beyond anything George Orwell ever imagined in 1984. But the reality of the fact is that it's there. And if anyone ever comes under the scrutiny of the government, they have everything about you that they can monitor you and look for the crime. As Stalin's lieutenant said, bring me the man, I'll find the crime. And Stalin's man didn't even have the kind of electronic paper trail. There's not even a paper trail, the kind of trail that the government has on everybody today. But in light of that, I find it very interesting that everybody got upset when they got a formal request to get this information, this paper information on these reporters, because they already had that information. Really, that was about intimidation. It was about serving them public notice that they're being watched. It was firing a shot at them. And that's what we really ought to understand about this AP scandal. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got an interview with somebody who went through a lot of the same stuff in the 60s and 70s. We're just talking about Watergate. Well, he was with the Black Panthers. We're going to be right back with an interview with Larry Pinkney, so stay tuned.
Our viewers have demanded it, so now you're going to get it. Pro Second Amendment gun shows in the month of June.
What we've learned is you cannot hide behind an I-beam when there's a 50 cal present.
Brothers in Arms, 50 cal ammo review, and more coming in the month of June to the InfoWar.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com. Yeah.
Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
Infowars.com. Yeah.
Well, welcome back. Now, our quote of the day is very appropriate to our next guest. It's from Eric Holder. Here's what he had to say. Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as an ethnic melting pot, and things racial, we have always been and continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards. Well, that's not true of our next guest. His name is Larry Pinkney, and he's a veteran of the Black Panthers, and he actively fought for black rights. And he also, though, is not captive by skin color. His sense of justice and his sense of morality transcends skin color, and we're going to talk about that. Listen to what he says about Barack Obama. He says in an article on his site called Goose-Stepping Behind Barack Obama, The Absence of Critical Thinking, he says, as aptly demonstrated by Germany and Italy in the 1930s, there's absolutely nothing new about a substantively uninformed and highly manipulated electorate, euphorically and uncritically lining up lockstep behind a political figure who's offering a dangerously superficial media soundbite rhetoric which indefinably calls for change. You know, we are often criticized for going back and talking about Hitler and talking about the Nazis and making these kind of comparisons, but You know, the Nazis were not only apocryphal, but they served as archetypes for oppression. And we see these patterns being repeated over and over again. And our next guest, even though he was actively involved with the Black Panthers, is not afraid to point out the similarities of the absence of critical thinking that is causing people to just line up behind Barack Obama because he's black or because he's a Democrat. So we're going to talk here in just a few minutes with Larry Pinkney, and he is a veteran of the Black Panther Party, as I said. He's also a former Minister of the Interior of the Republic of New Africa. He's a former political prisoner and the only American to have successfully self-authored his civil and political rights case to the United Nations under the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. He's a real fighter. Larry, welcome.
Thank
you. Great to see
you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to meet you in person. I've heard you many times. Now, as we were saying, you're not locking up right behind Obama and marching in lockstep behind him just because he's black. You're looking at what he's actually doing. And unlike so many people on the left who develop kind of a selective barrier to any criticism once their guy gets in, you've been very outspoken about things that you've seen that you don't believe are right. Tell us about.
Well, absolutely. You know, I do not believe in being lockstep, as it were, behind anyone. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that people have allowed themselves to be mesmerized, if you will, by Barack Obama. But they have not paid attention to what this man has done and is doing, whether we're talking about him bombing with his drone missiles Libya, North Africa, or mm-hmm. Somalia, or Bahrain, or, I mean, Afghanistan. The list is almost endless.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, people have allowed themselves to ignore a reality that is dooming us as a people. When I say as a people, I mean black, white, brown, red, yellow people, everyday, ordinary people. We have, too many of us, have allowed ourselves to become unprincipled. Mm-hmm. You see, we must be principled. Mm-hmm. If we were out there protesting, and we should have been, and organizing against George W. Bush, can you tell me why it is we're not out here organizing and protesting against Barack Obama?
Exactly. Just today, Darren McBrain was saying, you know, looking at Rachel Maddow, and she goes in and she says, well, look, you know, we're finding out that they just did this and they did that and everything, but then, oh, but Bush did it, you know, and nobody said anything about it back then. It's like, well, she was criticizing it when Bush was doing it, mm-hmm. but now she's offering it as an excuse that Bush did it. And you would see Hannity performing exactly the same function mm-hmm. when things are reversed. Mm-hmm. He'll say, oh, well, you know, yes, of course, Bush did these evil things, but look, Clinton did evil things, too, and mm-hmm. he got away with them. So they're really kind of like, when I look at them, it's kind of like people lining up behind the Jets or the Giants. You know, they're actually both from the same city. They're in the same league, mm-hmm. and they need each other to play the same game.
Right.
And the game that they're playing is dividing people up, and so that we don't, you know, we fall in, like you said, in lockstep behind our team, behind our party, behind our label of left or right or Tea Party or whatever, and we don't critically look at what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct. And the reality is that this is not a game. This is, we're talking about the very survival of everyday people on Mother Earth, on this planet, in this nation of the United States, and globally. And, you know, those, the power elite that run our lives in this country, whether they're banksters, whether they're the pharmaceutical corporations, whomever they are, the power elite nationally and globally, they understand this.
Mm-hmm.
We everyday people must understand this. The Democrats, the Republicans, I call them Republicrats because they feed from the same trough,
mm-hmm.
the same trough. Their rhetoric may be slightly different, but their actions are essentially the same. And in the case of Barack Obama, he has far surpassed, in a negative sense, the terrible things that George W. Bush committed.
Yes, yes.
But Obama has far surpassed it.
And continued things like torture and Gitmo.
Oh,
I
yes.
mean, you know, he was gonna stop that, but of course he didn't do it. And then he gave us things like the NDAA.
Right, you know. Right. Provision, especially provision 1021 mm-hmm. of the NDAA, which essentially makes null and void the right to due process. Yeah. I mean, imagine, is this whether people get offended or not? Let's be honest. Let's be real. Is this fascist Italy with Benito Mussolini? Is this Francisco Franco's dictatorship in Spain? Or is this a country where indeed the Constitution is a living document that means something? Apparently, it doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's, I guess, okay now because we have a quote-unquote, heavy quotes around that word black, a quote-unquote black man in office. Excuse me, oppression is oppression, mm-hmm. irrespective of who is responsible for the purveyance of that oppression. And in this case, it's incumbent upon us, I go back to what I had said before, to be principled. And one of the things that really I find most disconcerting, most disturbing, is that so many people on the so-called left, I say so-called, the so-called left, so-called progressives, so-called liberals, whatever, so many have decided to lose their principles, to selectively forget that which they claimed so loudly when Bush was in office. So I'm looking forward to a surge of everyday people. I think we're seeing that, frankly. I don't want to just be negative. I want to be very positive because I'm seeing people all around the world, all around this nation and the world, who are actually beginning to awaken. And that's heartening. As we said back in the day in the Black Panther Party, and I'm talking about the original Black Panther Party, we said all power to the people, all the people, black, white, brown, red, yellow. And this is something that we have to make a reality, and I see opportunities for that happening. We can break through this Obama trance.
You know, it's really interesting that you mentioned that, because when you look at all the tactics that we see coming out and all these scandals that are broken in the last week or whatever, framing people, dirty tricks, as they called them back in the 1960s, 70s, counterintelligence programs that you were a victim of, we're seeing all this sort of thing repeated again. But now the interesting thing is that it's being done not to Black Panthers. It's being done to white, mainstream, middle America, and Tea Party people, right? And I'm reminded of that quote, the famous quote from Nazi Germany, since we started this interview with that, you know, Martin Niemöller, who said, you know, they came for this group and I did nothing. They came for that group and I did. Then they came for me, you know? And for a lot of people, we're at that point right now.
Right.
And they need to listen to you and see the kinds of tactics and things that our government was capable of doing to you. And at the time, they say, oh, yeah, it's this other group, and I'm not concerned about it because I'm not a part of that group, or I guess they deserved it or whatever because they trusted their government. Now, like you said, I think people are beginning to wake up. It's beginning so pervasive that a lot of people now, they can look at this and they can go back and look at your history and say, you know, well, maybe those guys weren't the bad guys that we thought they that we were told that they were, right? You know, that they were framed, that different things happened to them. And along that line, we've got this march coming up, July 4th, as you're aware of, probably, in Washington, D.C. And I'm reminded of the fact that one of the first things that the Black Panthers did that got a lot of attention was marching in with arms into a city council meeting. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the Black Panther Party had a 10-point program, and I would urge people just to go to put in 10-point program, the Black Panther Party, it'll come up. So we believed in medical care, or we believed in community programs, et cetera, et cetera. However, we also believed in the right to self-defense. Okay? I believe the Second Amendment of the Constitution makes that right, it enshrines that right for all of us as quote-unquote Americans. Now, I think that it's imperative, especially from my own history, to understand that we have to be able to defend ourselves. It's not just a matter of bearing arms. I think it extends into the area of defending ourselves. When the party was founded in October of 1966, it was first called the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. I think that
because at that time, you were suffering the kind of stuff like we started out the news broadcast with. You see a couple who's in their house and the police demanding to come inside. And they say, where's your warrant? And they go, we don't have a warrant. Let us in.
Right.
And breaking the door down and tasering them because they were filming them.
Right.
And now we're seeing that so pervasive, so widespread. But it was something that at the time was pretty much limited to inner cities and black communities. And you were feeling that, and you got together on a local level to try to defend yourself against the police because the system was not working. The government government was not putting any rules of conduct on them. And now we see that pervasive.
Across the board.
Absolutely.
You see, and that's why I think we have a grand opportunity here. Irrespective of our so-called differences in perspective, we all come from different backgrounds. So what? We're going to have differences in perspectives. We don't need liars or robots. We need people to tell each other the truth and go from there. I'm pleased not about the terrible things that are happening, but I am very pleased that people are beginning to awaken. People are beginning to say, well, wait a minute. Now I see this other perspective. And we link the 60s, 70s, and 80s to right now, the year of 2013. Because we are all in this together, like it or not, as we used to say, like it or not. We're in this struggle together. And we got to be in this to win together. You know, the corporate elite, currently headed by their chief spokesperson, drone man Barack Obama, the global and national and global elite really have a special weapon right now, and that special weapon is Barack Obama. But we are waking up, all of us, irrespective of color, irrespective of gender. This is a good thing. This is a necessary thing. And let me just say this. The counterintelligence program, a program set up to frame, to discredit, to imprison, and neutralize, and in many cases, murder. The counterintelligence program is continuing today. It's continuing in various guises under NDAA, Section 1021, in the Patriot Act, and as we can see in Obama's own kill list. Why, this president has his own very special secret kill list.
We think about Nixon, and he had his enemies list, right? He was an evil person. Actually, he was an evil person,
You know,
but he's kind of the personification of this evil, calculating, murderous president because of the war in Cambodia and all these different things. And yet, Obama's got his kill list. I mean, that's just absolutely over the top. They're out in public now about things that they used to do in secret, and quietly.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. They're out in public about it now. So what does that tell us? It tells us that, you know, they think they have us so dumbed down, so manipulated, so controlled, that no matter what, we're going to accept it. I say, and I think more and more and more people are saying, wrong. We're not going to accept it. We are awakening. And we are going to do everything in our power together to resist, not only to resist, but to reverse this. If we're going to have a constitution, let's make it real. Don't have a piece of paper just for a piece of paper. Let's make it real. Okay, if we're going to have human rights, Obama's always talking about human rights in other countries. I wonder where he is about human rights right here, or his kill list. Okay, which, by the way, affects people in this country as well. Let's be real. That's what I mean when I say principled. Let's be principled. I don't have time for someone to say, I love him because he's black. No, I love someone, as Dr. Martin Luther King said, based upon the content of their character, not the color of their skin.
That's right. I was talking earlier about, in the news, about this leak that happened about the AP reporters, right? I think that's a good example of even the corporate-controlled media, government-controlled media, waking up. Because under the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, these were circumstances where they were talking, getting information to people in foreign countries. So the government has maintained, they're not even, like we're talking about them doing things openly, they're not even trying to conceal the fact that they record and all these different phone calls and keep them. So they've got all the information, the transcripts and everything. And when they come in and say, we want the phone numbers and the phone list of who they called, how long they talked, and so forth, they have the entire conversation already. So when they come in and do that, they're firing across the bow to intimidate now the big-time corporate media, the Associated Press. And this is galvanizing a lot of people, I think, to wake up. They're starting to say, oh, gee, I thought this was a conspiracy. They're just like John Stewart said the other day. He said, oh, I was laughing about these conspiracies, you know, but then he sees this, and it's kind of the wake-up call for a lot of these people.
Right, and you know, I like to say that those people who try to dismiss the reality, one, you know, there's a saying of just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not paranoid. I see what's happening, and we need to all see what's happening. The second thing is that those folks who refer to us and others as quote unquote conspiracy theorists, I like to turn around and let them know what they are. They are denial theorists.
Yes,
they're in denial.
Right. Right.
It's our job not to be in denial because too much is at stake. You're right. The Associated Press, who knows whom else? I mean, if they've already, they meaning this Obama government, has already done this, one can only imagine what else they have done and are doing, all in our name.
And they're totally in denial about surveillance, for example. Nobody wants to think about the fact that they live in something that is like 1984 on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
They've got every bit of electronic communication. And the last news article that we went over in the news was an article from Wired Magazine, people who know the technology. And they're talking about if it was Watergate all over again, how would a whistleblower try to anonymously communicate in a way that the government could not monitor with somebody? And you wouldn't believe all the different things that you would have to go through and probably would still get caught.
Yes.
I mean, they caught the director of the CIA. They know what everybody is doing. So the idea that they would give this list to the AP, now in the time of Nixon, that might have raised some flags and said, oh, they're starting an investigation. It's like, they don't need to investigate. They've got it. They're just basically intimidating people. They're ruling by fiat and by intimidation. They're ignoring the Constitution. They're murdering people with drone kill lists. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to see what's happening. And, you know, frankly, I don't expect that any of this would have been any different if we'd had a Republican. They're just going down this same program.
Right.
You've got cheerleaders even of most of what Obama is doing with the drone strikes and the likes of McCain and Lindsey Graham. They're all cheering him on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
and
what they like
and so-called Democrats like Keith Ellison, supposed progressive.
Carl Levin.
Carl Levin. Okay, these people, again, are unprincipled.
Mm-hmm.
They're not saying these drone strikes, for example, are wrong. They're just saying, well, how can we legitimize them? What can we do to cover them over? What can we do to legalize this? Well, how do you legalize murder?
Right.
How does one do that? And as far as Mr. Drone Man Barack Obama himself, we have to understand that these things, I say this again, is being done in our name.
Mm-hmm.
We're being attacked in our name, meaning by our very own government. Other people around the world are being attacked in our name.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask ourselves, and I leave this up to the audience, who are the real terrorists?
Right, right. It galvanized people when Rand Paul got up and did his filibuster about drones. But one of the things I like about the Black Panther Party is that you weren't looking to have somebody solve all your problems for you. That's the reason we're in the situation we're in today. It isn't going to be some person at the top who's going to magically reverse all of these infringements on our liberties that are so systemic.
Mm-hmm.
And you see these agencies and the people in them, like the IRS, they transcend one administration to the next because they are the useful tool. It doesn't matter which president's in, he's going to use them in criminal ways.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is so over the top that it gets people's attention like it did with Nixon and is now doing with Obama. But they all do it. There's all incidences of this happening. And so the system itself needs to be changed.
Yes.
And the way that we can do it, I think, is the way the Black Panthers did it, which is at a local level.
Right.
As local as we can go to control our lives, we have to want to control our lives at a local level.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take control of our lives at a local level.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what the Black Panthers were about. Talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned it briefly at the beginning.
The 10-point program. There's a book called To Die for the People written by Huey P. Newton. But there are numerous books out now about the Black Panther Party. But we had a 10-point program. It was very simple. It wasn't intellectual masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
It was very simple, very clear-cut. Anyone could understand it. Food, clothing, housing, shelter, education, medical care. Now, J. Edgar Hoover at the time called that revolutionary. I'm thinking, that's revolutionary? My God! You know, but my
let me interject this. I think history has been much more kind to the Black Panthers than to J. Edgar Hoover. As time goes by, we're starting to see some real truth. Truth eventually comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at J. Edgar Hoover, somebody who was so drunk on power over so many decades, I mean, this guy was like
an American Stalin. I mean, he was really a dangerous character.
Very
corrupt. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right.
Go back to the 10 point. I just had to say that about J. Edgar Hoover.
Great point. We believed in, and when I say we, I'm talking to Panther Party, Black Panther Party, that started in October of 66. We believed strongly in doing for self. We believe that we should serve the people, as the expression we would use, serve the people body and soul. That's why we had free health programs, free medical clinics, free food programs, free shoe programs, free senior citizens programs. So I can just go on and on, and these were national.
Let me ask you now, though. Where did the money for the free programs come from?
We went
from the community.
Right to the community.
Right.
We went right to the community. And the argument, our argument to the community was simple. You think the government's going to do it for you? They had to, you're right. We got to do it for ourselves.
Because if you do something like that at a local level, whether it's a community, small town getting together on that basis, or whether it's people in a church or something like that, it can work.
Yes.
At a local level.
Yes.
It's when the more distant you get from the people, then you start getting in these bureaucracies where they start misallocating stuff, where they start to get sticky fingers, and the stuff that goes to them never goes back down to the people.
Exactly.
It just becomes a redistribution of wealth, not amongst the people, but from the people to them.
Exactly.
Essentially.
So exactly.
That's an interesting point, that you had a lot of things that initially a lot of people who consider themselves to be Republicans might balk at and say, oh, we don't want that being done. But because you were doing it at a local level, it made sense.
Mm-hmm. It did. It worked. It worked.
And people opted into it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. You see, this is one of the things, of course, that frightened the federal government, was they were thinking, oh, my God, they're doing for self. Mm-hmm. They are actually working in their own, quote-unquote, communities, making these things real.
Because they want dependency.
Right. Dependency means control. You are manipulated. You are controlled, and that's you hit it again.
They control and manipulate people who typically vote for the Democrats because they make them dependent on the government for things like food and health care and clothing or housing. I should say they don't do clothes yet.
Not yet.
That'll come. But for the Republicans, they make them dependent, the Republican voters, dependent because of a sense of fear for security, you know?
Yes.
And so then we become dependent on the government for security. And how good a job do they do in providing a security? They don't. They come at us, don't they?
That's the whole point. The security is really security in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually what they are promoting is insecurity and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a people in fear. Keep a people divided. Keep a people not knowing one another. This is how you control people. And then they say, well, you have the vote. Albert Camus, the French philosopher, said, what good does it do to give a man a vote or a woman and then tell him he's free? Because you don't really control the system that puts those so-called candidates there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're absolutely right. The fear factor, okay, it's very, very strong. Obama has taken this to extremes. It didn't begin with him, but he's certainly taken it further than any other president.
And each president that comes along does that.
Yes.
We're almost out of time. Let me ask you real quickly for something that is kind of a current event that's coming up. And that is, again, this D.C. march. We mentioned it briefly. How do you feel about that? Because that's a real flashpoint. It's a dangerous situation when they go in and to confront the government when it's wrong. And that particular situation, going in there with loaded guns, it was a D.C. law that was specifically struck down by the Supreme Court 5 years ago in D.C. versus Heller. It was an off-duty cop who wanted the ability to be able to carry firearms off-duty that sued. And for 5 years, they've continued to enforce this law that was struck down by the Supreme Court. So you've got these marchers who are going in there carrying loaded rifles because that was the central point of that Supreme Court decision. And yet, we know how the government can use COINTELPRO. So this is a very dangerous flashpoint situation. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
I want them to be very, very careful. I think of when the party, the Black Panther Party, carried legally weapons exposed so everyone could see, and it was legal at the time in the state of California.
There were no local laws that were there.
Well, that happened after we did it. Then they came out with what's called the Mulford Act.
Right.
Which made it illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I want them to be extreme. I'm sure they want to be extremely careful too.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to understand that they are going to try to infiltrate them. They are going to try to do every single thing. They're going to try to provoke
something when I say they. I'm talking about this corporate-controlled Obama government, Mr. Drone Man's government.
Very important, because you've seen all this stuff.
Yes.
You've seen the infiltration. You've seen the provocation.
Yes.
And you know exactly how they work, and they don't change their methods. That's why we keep telling people, look for a drill. You know, that's a key thing about the bombing. Look for a drill. Mm-hmm. That's something that demonstrates it's a false flag.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about infiltration and provocation at a march. You saw all that happen. What other types of things?
They are going to use their corporate stream media to disinform and misinform people. Again, going back to using the fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These things all combined are what they're going to try to do. I want these folks to be aware of these things. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying be aware, be cognizant of what, you know, you were facing. Back in the day in the 60s, a lot of us, you know, had no idea how vicious this government actually is, was and is, continues to be. But let's learn from history. I don't care if it's where the, you know, black, white, brown, red, yellow history. It's people's history. It's our history.
And this is very important, because a lot of the people who are going to be going to this are going to be typically coming from white America, you know, rural America, whatever. They're the ones who are most attached to the Second Amendment issue right now, who are willing to put themselves online, perhaps surrendering themselves, get arrested, having their firearms confiscated or whatever. They're dedicated to the cause. I really admire them. But like you said, they don't necessarily know the history, because they haven't experienced it of what you went through. And the government is going to do the same things to them that they did to you. So they need to be aware of this, like you said, not to tell them, not to pour cold water on it.
No,
what they're doing is very brave.
Right.
And it comes to the point where you have to ask yourself, what else can we do about it? When they ignore the Supreme Court, which to them is the ultimate authority. I mean, I don't agree with what the Democrats typically say is a living constitution. I think the words mean what the words say. But they talk about a living constitution that, well, whatever the Supreme Court says the words mean, that's what it's now going to mean. Well, the Supreme Court ruled against them.
Well,
and they still did what they wanted to do.
We don't have a living constitution. So, I mean, you know, that is absurd.
But to appeal to their usual source of authority, they still denied it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know, if it weren't so serious, it would actually be hilarious.
Right.
But it is very serious, and it's not funny. And again, I would urge people who are unaware of the demo that's coming up to make themselves aware of what those issues are, and to understand that they are affected. They are affected. And you know, I remember back in the day when the party was strongly standing up for self-defense in the communities. And by the way, we were allied with white groups, Asian groups, Mexican-American groups, the Chicana organizations. It wasn't just the Black Panther Party, contrary to how the mythologies continue to spread today. But I want people, and I hope people will pay attention to the larger issue and understand why these people are doing what they are doing. Don't say, oh, that's their issue. That's not just their issue.
It's
our issue. And we better look at it that way.
That's right. Even if you don't agree with that interpretation of the Second Amendment, you have to look at this and say, how can a city, our capital city, ignore both the Constitution and a direct revocation of that law that they've continued to enforce now for 5 years.
Right.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops, and I certainly hope people will look at the history of what you went through personally. You were in prison for quite some time after the COINTELPRO operations. Look at the history of what they did with the Black Panther Party and learn from that, because they really do use the same playbook, unfortunately, over and over again. Thank you so much, Larry Pitney.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Well, what Larry told us about not getting taken captive by the left-right paradigm is certainly true. The vital issues that we both agree on, even though we may disagree on a lot of side issues, the vital issues are the ones that really affect our lives and the lives of the community, the lives of the nation. A lot of these issues that they fight so hard on to divide people into left and right camps and along racial lines and that sort of thing are not the central issues that are going to make the difference. It's the ones that are about our freedoms, our constitutional rights, our liberty, and keeping the government under control, a government that will obey the law. That's what we all need to be concerned about, no matter what your position is on issues, you need to be concerned about a government that is out of control. And we're seeing it getting worse under every successive administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Well, we hope you'll continue to watch us here on InfoWars Nightly News. And if you're watching on YouTube, please consider getting a subscription to Prison Planet TV. You can get a subscription and pass it out to up to 10 friends at one time, can be watching simultaneously. Of course, you can hand it out to more people than that, but 10 people can be watching it simultaneously. It'll help people to wake up, and just as we had tonight, you can see that we've got a wide variety of people that come in here and talk about the issues that are important to us, civil liberties and freedom. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.